Now let me read chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, he's talking now to believers, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, or prove the spirits. I like the word prove much better. But prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we're dealing here with the spirit world, and the Bible has a great deal to say about it. For instance, we have in Psalm 104, at verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire. And that's quoted in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 7. Actually, a great many people feel that because down a little farther in Hebrews, and we've already dealt with this, but let me remind you of it, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Now, I've never seen an angel, and I've never had a visit by one of them. I don't personally feel that they today have a ministry to the church. My feeling is that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you just can't improve on that arrangement. And I'd much rather have the uncreated Holy Spirit than a created angel to follow me around or to minister. I think that today that we need to put the emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. But not only are there good angels, that is, those that serve God, but there are today fallen angels, and they are spirits. They are called that in Scripture. The Gospels talk a great deal that in Christ's day there were unclean spirits. That is what is known as demonism. We call them demons because the Scripture uses that term. Now, we are warned and told that the reason we're to put on the whole armor of God, and that we are in today a gigantic battle that is beyond the flesh. It's a spiritual battle. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I've gone into detail in that when we were there in Ephesians and also in the book of Daniel more recently, so that I'm not going back over that ground today, that we believe that the devil has the thing pretty well organized on his side. In his army of demons, he has at the top the generals and the lieutenant colonels, and then on down to the sergeants and the corporals and the just plain ordinary infantrymen, just a regular soldier. And I think God has his organized very much the same way. And we saw an example of that in the book of Daniel. Now, we're told here that we're to believe not every spirit. That is, these unclean spirits. We're to test the spirits. Now, a few years ago, that sounded rather spooky. The supernatural was ridiculed, especially in college circles and among the intelligentsia. But we have now moved into an area today where Satan has become quite a reality, and there's Satan worship. And it's confined to a great extent to colleges, either the campus or around the campus. We have one or two satanic churches here in Los Angeles, and we may even have more. And a few years ago, you know, it was way out in left field, is something that's in existence today. And down in Florida, they had a young boy that was killed, a 17-year-old boy, murdered. And they found out that it was done to appease Satan, because the satanic priestess down there, just a young woman of 22, said that this boy should be killed. I have all types of clippings here before me, and these are things that are taking place today. Now, we've had quite a few things that have happened actually in our day that are really, and I mean really spooky. We have, for instance, this book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That's the name of the book. The author is named Richard Bach, and he has said that a voice dictated it to him and that it's not his own style of writing, actually. And very candidly, it's something today that I understand that many churches have recommended and several good men have been taken in by it. Well, it's the story about a theological concept of a young seagull, which has human attributes. He soared off toward unlimited perfection and found that each of us is just an idea of the great gull, and that birth and sin and sickness and death are not realities, but just illusions. And what the biblical writers call sins really are virtues. And freedom is freedom to do what one pleases. Well, that's not new, but this, of course, is actually out of the very pit of hell itself, because this is satanic. Now, we're seeing a manifestation of demonism today, and it's all around us. When I was in college, why, it was frowned upon, looked down upon. You were just a plebeian. It didn't make any difference what IQ you had or what grades you made in school, but if you just happened to believe in the supernatural, you were radically wrong, and they didn't hesitate to tell you so. Well, let me say that today that's all changed, and it's weird today, and many young people have gone off the deep end into this. They've never had any Bible training at all. Now, he's talking here to God's children. He's told us about how we're to love each other, how believers are to love each other and to help each other. But we must be careful. As we said last time, you remember that Paul prayed for the Philippians, and he loved them a great deal. He says, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It's wonderful to love, but may I say to you, you and I are in a mean, big, wicked world. And this world we live in today is going to take us in. It'll deceive us. We need to be careful. And he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit. And when I hear today somebody tells me about some person that seems to have supernatural power, maybe to heal, maybe to impart a gift, I don't get excited. And somebody says, why don't you go hear so-and-so? Well, I don't want to waste my time. I'm told today to test, to prove the spirits. And may I say to you, just because a thing looks like it's supernatural, and there's a lot of hocus-pocus going on today, I can assure you that has nothing supernatural in it at all. It's just a camouflage Christianity. We're to test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, the false prophets that John means here, teachers, and Paul used it that way. For instance, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. You see, prophecy here means to teach, to exhort, to instruct, and to do that sort of thing. Now, there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And I want to tell you that there are many that are abroad today that we need to beware of. I think right now that prophecy is becoming such an interesting subject, and I think rightly so. But again, the thing that has been said, Sir Robert Anderson made the statement, he says, beware of the wild utterances of prophecy mongers. Well, a lot of those abroad today that are saying more than the Scripture says, so that we need to be very careful today. Just because a man comes along saying, Lord, Lord, that doesn't mean we should love him. That may be the man that's more dangerous than a rattlesnake, because he may be teaching false doctrine. That is, he's not really teaching the Word of God, although he may carry a big Bible under his arm.